Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. And continuing the preview of the San Francisco 49ers, just a fascinating team on how they've built. Look, there was, in kind of doing a little bit of research on the Niners in the preview, there was one line that I really just stuck out with me. I was reading it last night, and it came from Frank Schwab's previews at Yahoo Sports, where he said, in the Kyle Shanahan system, you do not need elite quarterback play. And that's like, they have so many weapons that you don't need the quarterback to be that elite. And that is somewhat true. Now maybe it's a little hyperbolic, because in the NFL, you do need to be able to play the quarterback position well. You can't be terrible and win just because you have Christian McCaffrey and just because you have Deebo Samuels. The league will figure out that your quarterback is not very good quickly, and they'll limit how quickly you can get the ball to these guys, and they'll your threat to do X, Y, and Z is no longer there. So you do need some semblance of good play at that position. But what I think Frank was kind of getting at is, look, you don't need to be a player like Patrick Mahomes. You don't need to be a player like Joe Burrow. You don't need to be a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence. You can be a Jimmy Garoppolo. You can be a Brock Purdy. And you can be very, very good in the way Shanahan runs this offensive system. And that is why it is a little surprising, to be honest with you, that Trey Lance, they're ready to pull the plug very quickly. As we talked about in hour one, there was a lot of evaluation on making Trey Lance the third overall pick in 2021. He was taking over. And not only that, he was taking over a team that had gone to the Super Bowl. And he was supposed to be the guy. And instead, he's on his way out. Everyone says he can't even play in the system anymore. You know, one of my favorite sort of stories about quarterbacks in the NFL is not Tom Brady, even though that's a made for TV movie coming. But it really is Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, to me, has just got a brilliant, brilliant story on what he was and what he is, where he went, where he was at the start of this thing to where he is now. And I was watching one of these morning shows this morning, and there was a graphic that said, are we taking Patrick Mahomes for granted? And I, you know, listen, I know everybody's got their little angles and whatnot. And I said, I've always said it's that time of year where we make something out of nothing. You know, we try to do it because what's coming down the road is so close, right? Of just constant football. Baseball playoffs are coming in October, right? The NBA season is coming, all of those things. But what we really are waiting for is right around the corner. So we might take a little thing and blow it up, make a big, huge deal out of it. But for example, you might have seen yesterday on TV, like, will Ezekiel Elliott help the Patriots make the playoffs? Like, the Patriots need a lot more to make the playoffs out of that division. But it's just something to grab onto. But this question is really intriguing. The idea that this could be asked on one of these debate shows, do we take Patrick Mahomes for granted, is really awesome when you think where he was and how he got to this position in the first place, right? And if you don't know the story, real quick, I mean, most of you do, but out of Texas Tech, yeah, he was a gunslinging quarterback in the Big 12, but that gave no respect by NFL scouts. They knew what the Big 12 was. They knew kids did this all the time. They knew that they didn't really work out in the NFL. But when the Kansas City Chiefs evaluated Mahomes, they liked him so much that they gave him the starting job after his rookie season and got rid of Alex Smith, even though Smith had gotten him to the playoffs the year before. Like, Mahomes, I think, played in one game his rookie season. And they were willing to give him not only the keys to the kingdom, is the old cliche, it was the key to everything. They were willing to say, we always use that term, we used it earlier this week with the Rams, you know, chips all in. I mean, this isn't just chips all in. This is like signing your mortgage. This is like your kid's college fund. This is everything. Your car. You put it in the center. That's what they did because they believed in him so much. When you've reached a point where you've gone to five AFC title games and the media is asking a question on a August debate show about whether or not the public is taking him for granted. What an amazing thing to have happened when everyone was giving the Chiefs like C-plus grades for the draft and saying, I don't know about this Mahomes guy. I mean, I would be wearing a T-shirt that said, I drafted Patrick Mahomes if I was in that room. If I was an assistant to one of the coaches and I had a vote and I voted Patrick Mahomes, I'd let everybody know about it, given where he was, how people viewed him to what he is today. And you know what? You know what? It's funny. The answer to that question for me is yes, we do. We do take him for granted. And we do that with the greats, right? We do that with the greats. We kind of expect that you will be leading the team. You know, last year was, you know, Tyreek Hill, right? They lost some pieces. Nevertheless, they back in the Super Bowl. And so, yeah, the answer is yes. But that's the kind of story that can happen when you get an opportunity, when that door is right in front of you and you go, all right, it's mine now. Holy cow. Not only is it mine, I'm not a first round pick on a bad team where everything around me is bad and I have to learn around a bad team. I'm on a good team. I'm on a team that went to the playoffs. I'm on a team where they're telling me in my second year, you're the next step up. You're the next thing. You're the thing we're missing. You see everything around you? Everything around you is good enough to get to the postseason. Everything around you is good enough to win a playoff game. But you're the next thing. You're the next pop. And they almost went to the Super Bowl that year. They were a D-Ford offensive, you know, offsides call away from winning, going to the Super Bowl that year. But they did the next year. Now, go back to Trey Lance for a second. Trey Lance wasn't that story. Trey Lance was third pick, North Dakota State. They evaluated him. They like him. Now, he's on his way out. He's on his way out. Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, and C.J. Stroud are on bad teams. They're all starting quarterbacks coming into the season. They're all on bad teams. I still love the idea that these coaches, Shane Steichen, D'Amico Ryans, Frank Reich, have all made the decision that the future is today. I'm all for it. But they're on bad teams. They're going to struggle. The question is, what do you do with them when they do struggle? Do you throw them out in a league that doesn't have time for development? I swear, it drives me crazy when people talk about this. I like what's happening with the Jets. They seem to be understanding, or at least Rodgers is understanding, that there's a player in Zach Wilson that can be unearthed, right? That with a little bit more seasoning. How many teams get to do that? But that's a unique situation where you can bring in a Hall of Famer that is nobody is going to challenge the QB1 label on Aaron Rodgers so that the guy behind them can just learn and grow and a little bit of stress off his back unless Rodgers gets hurt. But even then, it's still like, all right, but I'm still just QB2. No, you are throwing these guys onto a team that are bad, but what do you do with them when they struggle? If you're a coaching staff, are you humble enough to admit that the guy struggled because you weren't around to help him out through that and you've got to do a better job? Or do you say, sorry, this is a big boy league, and if you struggle in your rookie season and struggle in year two, it is time to move on to somebody that won't? I'm not here to tell you that Trey Lance deserves every opportunity, but he hasn't really gotten a ton, right? We evaluated it last hour. Three games in his rookie season that he played legitimately at quarterback. Did not come in to run on third down. Did not come in to carry the ball once. I mean, he played in like seven, eight games his rookie season. A couple of them were just one carry for whatever yards. But there were three games in which he threw over 10 times. Those legitimate playing the position at quarterback. Last year it was one, before he was injured early in week two. So we're talking about four games in the NFL from North Dakota State. We're talking about two four games in two seasons where he has not, he's not done enough. Now they're trying to say, well, look what we did. We landed a home run in Brock Purdy. I think this year is going to be fascinating from a quarterback standpoint, right? Because what you've got in the AFC is a battle of the arms. And there's only going to be one man standing in that conference when it's all said and done heading into Super Bowl 58. That conference has only given us one team. Is it Burrow? Is it Allen? Is it Mahomes again? Is it Lawrence? Is it Herbert? Right? Is it Tua Tagovailoa? Is it Rodgers? Is it Deshaun Watson? Is it Lamar Jackson? Oh, God, please. It would be great if it was Kenny Pickett. Is it Ryan Tannehill? Right? There's only going to be one left standing. But there are three rookie quarterbacks, and I'm really curious on how they're going to be developing as the year goes on. What's the odds that the three guys that are going to start, the three rookies, they're all going to say at the end of the year, you know, they all had pretty good seasons for given what they were? Yeah, doubt it, right? Doubt it. It's very likely one of them is going to be so bad that people are going to go, I don't even know if this guy should have been a first-round pick. That seems to be where we go with this kind of stuff, right? I mean, everyone was buzzing 2 years ago with Trey Lance, like, wow, look at this, a Super Bowl team, a team that went to the Super Bowl is getting its franchise quarterback with the third overall pick. Look where he is today. He'll be looking for a new home soon if he has another bad preseason game. All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb is coming up next. And Bonte Hill will join us in hour three to continue the preview of the Niners. NFC West Week continues on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. And a Wednesday to you. Glad you could be with us. All right, let's get things rocking and rolling. The midweek good, the bad, and the dumb. What's the good of the day?
Midweek edition. We got to go with it right away.
Right.
Fantasy football punishments are stupid, Tony.
Yes.
Right? But then there are some that come along that are actually kind of brilliant. The one that I've always, like, you know, stupid ones are you got to wear a dress on a corner and hold a sign saying, I lost my fantasy football league. Or,
yeah,
you know, you got to prank call your boss. Stupid things like that. The one I've always wanted, I do want to do the Waffle House Challenge. I don't know why. That just sounds like fun.
I feel like if I do it, I'll die.
I mean, it's very real. Very real. But Giants play-by-play announcer Dave Fleming made good on his fantasy football punishment, which was he served as the team's bat boy for the first three innings of Monday night's game.
Oh, okay. Very good.
So
we're talking San Francisco Giants.
San Francisco Giants, yes. Right. Yeah, San Francisco Giants. So, yeah, he served as the team's bat boy, wore what a bat boy is supposed to wear. He was in full uniform, full dress.
So, and, how long did he do it? The whole game?
The first three innings.
Okay, so whenever he could, he like took a break from the broadcast and went down there for three innings.
Well, he didn't start the broadcast,
so he wasn't on the broadcast team.
He came in the fourth inning.
Okay, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
So he started off down in the dugout, down in the trenches, doing all the things that the bat boy normally does, and the bat boy himself was there training him.
That's awesome.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
I wonder what some of the rules are.
I don't know. I mean, he was talking about how, you know, the announcers who were covering for him up in the booth, the color analyst and whoever the other guy was, were talking to him. He was mic'd up for a second, going, you know, you seem to be hustling out there. He's like, well, you don't want to disrupt the flow of the game,
right?
Because he had to run up, he had to bring out baseballs to the umpire, he had to run out there and make sure the bats were cleared away and put back where they're supposed to be. And
I don't think I could do this job. I think I'd have a hard time with it. I think even if a kid was teaching me how to do it, I'd probably screw it up.
Tony, they trained a dog to do it.
Think I could do it?
I think you got this.
Very good.
But I was
delivering baseballs to an umpire. I mean, how? Holy cow.
Yeah, but that's a good – I think that's a fun punishment.
Fun punishment.
Obviously, they're in that field, but whoever came up with that idea is like, hey, if you lose the fantasy football league, you got to be bat boy for the team for
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I think the Waffle House challenge is actually really cool. When you stay there for 24 hours, but every waffle you eat, you get an hour off your time.
An hour off your time.
And I have talked about this with people, and I'm like, could I do this? Could I do the Waffle House challenge? Like, how many waffles would I eat over, like what would be the most hours I would have to stay there? And how much would I have to give the waitress and the other waitress and the other waitress that were working shifts?
And you
do I just hand each one of them $100? Like, I'm taking this table for a while, or I'm taking this seat at this booth for a while.
By this time, in late February, maybe March, should Waffle House just have a designated table
for this kind of thing?
Yeah, because I feel like it happens every year.
But it doesn't happen everywhere for a year.
No, not everywhere. But I'm
so if you were, if you had it, you'd be like, we're going to keep that table empty.
I'm just saying for this week and make it like a campaign.
Oh, like advertise for it?
Yeah. Here we go again. I'm drumming up business ideas for Waffle House. Like they need it.
Okay, I would be curious if a restaurant person would say, I can make more money flipping that table 20 times in a day than you, your buddy sitting there. So I'd rather not promote the Waffle House challenge.
Well, that's why I say
because it costs us a ton of money.
Maybe you pull in a table. Maybe it's like a desk chair and say, this is your
maybe
designated
that's a
table.
Good idea. Now, that's a good idea. If you could fit in. Waffle Houses are tiny, though.
They are.
They're really
cramped. Why is that?
I have no idea, but they are cramped.
I mean, there's
are cramped.
There's only there's tables there, but it feels like every Waffle House there's only maybe room for 10 people.
Back when you and I were doing mornings, when we were on at 5 a.m.
early mornings,
six a.m. Eastern. We're still doing mornings, but we were on it 5 a.m. Central, 6 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
After the show, I used to go with my wife to the Waffle House for breakfast before she would go off to work, and you'd go in there and you're like, this is a closet. What are we doing here? Like this, it's not like a Denny's. It's kind of open space. It's like trapped, but it was kind of neat. Like just to see them cook your food and stuff, it's kind of cool. And then, you ever seen Anthony Bourdain's visit to a Waffle House?
No.
On YouTube, it's wonderful. I think he did it for CNN or something. It's wonderful.
Did he take in the Waffle House challenge?
He loved it. He He was talking to how you get your home fries smothered and whatever, all the terminology.
Yeah.
So, that Waffle House challenge is actually quite a good way to a good punishment. Some of the punishment's dangerous.
Yeah. And that's why I said some of them are just stupid. Like, wearing a dress on a street corner. It's like,
yeah.
No. I think it's just stupid.
Yeah. So, all right. What is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. It's could be considered an unholy act in the NFL, Tony.
Okay.
But the Lions' recent acquisition of quarterback Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep.
He's expected to wear jersey number 50.
Oh, okay.
But just during the preseason.
Okay, so this is bad because they don't have another numbers?
No, I think the NFL needs to – I know they already –
Well, but just for preseason, it won't matter.
Yeah, I know. But I think they relaxed on the rules before. But now I'm at the point, why not just let them roll with it for the regular season?
You know to wear 50?
How many jerseys you could sell?
Is there a reason he's – Am I missing something on the 50?
I don't know why he's wearing 50. 50.
Oh, okay. Because I'm sorry. I thought there was an implied reason he's wearing 50 that I'm missing.
No, it's just that it's not a quarterback number. Quarterbacks can only wear 0 to 19. So when the regular season starts, he has to choose a number between 0 and 19. But since he was a late addition to the team, he's like, I'm going to wear 50. And he's even listed in their media guide or on their website right now as Teddy Bridgewater, number 50.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think the NFL needs to get rid of that archaic rule. I'm sorry.
I'm the other way. I like it.
You like it?
Yeah, it helps. It helps the broadcasting. It helps. There's a many, many reasons why they do it.
I know, but
it works. I know you can have unique numbers, but it's I don't know. There's probably the obstacles that it creates. You could probably work around. You know.
I mean,
you can work around.
I'm looking at all the number categories, right? Punters and place kickers pretty much wear any number they want.
Yeah.
Except
I think you can be 88 and kick field goals.
Yeah. No, actually, you can't. I mean,
you can't?
They can go for.
So if you were like, I'm a kicker, I want 88, they go, no, that's wide receiver.
That's wide receiver territory.
All right.
Or actually, I guess technically a running back could be 88 now.
Can you be double zero?
That's still no. You can't.
No.
You can be zero.
You can be zero, but you can't be double zero.
Double zero. They don't have that on here. I mean, like, all if you're right. a punter or a place kicker, you can have any number between 0 and 49.
So this is not quite
then,
roulette wheel type
and
of thing.
90 and 99.
Okay.
Yeah. But quarterbacks only 0 to 19. I think they need to change that a little bit. Have some more fun.
Well, it's if there was a reason why Teddy Bridgewater was 50, like, my grandfather played and he was 50, then I'd be probably more on this. But if he's a late addition, it's like, just give me a number, and then if I make the team and I'm on the team and I'm on the depth chart,
yeah,
then we'll just work it out later.
I think it has a lot to do with the fact that maybe the Lions just had that jersey sitting around.
They just went, here, you're this.
Hey, you're 50. All right.
You're this.
Or, so, you know, maybe he was like, you know, let's do something different. It's preseason.
Yeah,
he doesn't even know if he's going to – well, I think he'll make the team, right? He's got
– maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Depends.
I don't even know who's on their team.
You never know. You know. I would like to think – I mean, they acquired him, and they reunited him with Dan Campbell. The two had worked together when they were with the Saints.
Yeah.
So Campbell liked him. But, you know, you never know. It could be one of those things where he doesn't make it. Or he does make it. So I like Teddy Bridgewater, but the last couple of years have not gone very well for Teddy Bridgewater.
No, they haven't. I mean, it's weird, though. He's had a weird – I mean, after the injury, obviously the injury was horrific, and he probably would have been much better off. You know, he was really good before the injury. But then he seems to do that journeyman thing, which is have a couple of really good games in a row and it gets everyone talking about him, and then he just quietly disappears, and we forget that he was even on that team.
Yeah. So – I mean, is it likely that he makes a team? Probably, but you just need two quarterbacks and then a third that you don't have you don't have kicking around on game day. Very rarely do you dress three QBs for game day, so you have one that's sort of, you know, that's just hanging around on the depth chart.
Well, I mean, he's listed as quarterback number two on the depth chart.
So he's beating out Nate Sudfeld. Is that who it is?
Nate Sudfeld is.
I remember when
fourth.
We did the Lions preview, I asked about Nate Sudfeld. But do they not have Hendon Hooker?
They have Hendon Hooker.
He's hurt. He's hurt. He got hurt against South Carolina last year.
Yeah. He's still.
So he's not. He's not a.
Actually, I'm sorry. I had a mix up. Nate Sudfeld is third. Hendon Hooker is fourth.
Okay. So Hendon Hooker is your when you come back, we'll figure you out.
And hopefully you're the future.
Yeah. Hopefully you're the future because they might like him enough. He throws a great football.
Yeah.
He really throws a great football.
I don't think
but
Tennessee
he's
would have taken
be out
it too had he not gotten hurt.
He got his ACL ripped apart against the Gamecocks. That was pretty nasty. Pretty nasty.
Blame you.
All right. We will have All right, we will have the dumb coming up when we come back on Wake Up Call. And again, working on the 49ers this week. And then tomorrow it's the Seahawks to wrap up the NFC West. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Up call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. All right, let's get to the dumb of the day as we continue the good,
the
bad,
day
and dumb.
It's not really dumb.
Okay.
So
what? How would you? What adjective would you use?
Where I'm going to say it's dumb is on the organization itself. The professional teams itself.
Right.
That I'm going to be speaking of. Because I actually like this idea. There is a Native American advocacy group who are petitioning that the Commanders revert back to their old name.
Okay.
The Redskins.
The Redskins, right.
And they're now tackling the idea of saying, hey, Guardians. It's a dumb name. Go back to the Indians. And it's a Native American advocacy group that's doing this.
Okay.
And I'm for it. That's why, I mean, for me, it's like a good dumb because I was never, you know, they're taking the angle that, you know, it's like the term, you know, it's like the name Redskins, the name Indians, they're not derogative in the sense of, you know, it's like, you know, as like a, almost like a put down or a slur word or something like that.
Yeah, that was the argument for a long time. So they would ask, like, they would say, like, the Braves, why don't you change your name? Or the Indians change your name, Redskins change your name. And the counter argument was always, nobody names their team, which is a source of pride. Nobody names it something derogatory and purposely insulting, right? Like it does. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering, does that group speak for everybody? Is everybody on board?
I don't know if it speaks for everybody. I mean, I'm sure there's the tribal nations. I mean, that's the one thing I always remember is like everyone was always asking, like, change your name. And there was a lot of tribes coming out like, we don't care.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, and they're the Native American Guardians Association. And they claim, especially with the Redskins, and this is this is on their petition that 100,000 people have signed so far. It says it was never intended as a derogatory or offensive term, but as a symbol of respect and admiration. Changing the name abruptly disregards the positive legacy that the Redskins name has built over the years and disorients the passionate fans who have invested their emotions, time, and unwavering support in the team. Plus, the Commanders have been terrible.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's very true.
It's like, just bury the name. Dan Snyder is leaving. Bury the Commanders as a name.
I remember asking Dave Preston this when Josh Harris was buying the team. I said, okay, can Harris change the name? Like, what has there been conversation about Harris changing the name? And he said, yes, there has, but there is there's a five year gap between when you change the name to when you can change it again. So you can't just change your name constantly for marketing reasons.
Yeah.
So
I get that.
So I go, okay, so in 5 years, will he change the name? And he's like, well, there's so many other things that he wants to fix that it's probably the least on the list. But I wouldn't be surprised if he did petition to go, look, this isn't my, I don't like this. This was put together quickly. It wasn't really thought out. It really was. It's really not a good name.
No, it's not.
Yeah, there was a ton of them. And yet there were a ton of names they could have chose. They just grabbed this real quick. I go back to this.
That was the one that tested the best. Is that?
Yeah, like I guess that was it. Right.
Commanders
yeah.
tested best. Like, yeah. Go back to the Washington football team.
Right. I know. Yeah. By the way, I might need to look this up during the break. When was the last year we called them the Redskins? Because we did a couple of years of the Washington football team, and they've been the Commanders now for a couple of years. So I'm like, we'll have to look that up. But let's go back to this situation. Because Florida State, they're the Seminoles. Yep. And they've gotten no pressure to change because the Seminole tribe is actually supportive of the school utilizing the name. Therefore, I'm going to ask this, and I know this has been hotly debated, but when you're a team that is the Indians rather than a tribe you can associate with, does it matter?
Yeah.
Are you just sort of blanketing every Native American group and saying, yeah, we're just the name that implies all of it.
Shouldn't we, by that phrase, should we get rid of the Cowboys?
Yeah. But who's offended by Cowboys?
Right. But I mean, like, who's offended? Like Indians. That's
right.
That's a good point. Going off of. Why? I mean, it's just Indians.
Yeah.
I mean, or, you know, are you offended by the name Indian and you want
was
to
Was it the name or was it Chief Wahoo? Was it that sort of cartoonish logo?
You know, which was a caricature of what, for you and I growing up, every Indian in cartoons looked like that.
Right, exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah.
And we know they don't look that way. Maybe that's offensive. I can understand that. I can get that. But, you know, I mean, it's. They did get rid of Chief Wahoo, didn't they?
I tell you, I thought they did, yeah.
I thought they did too.
It is. It's been an interesting debate for a couple of decades.
Yeah,
now. We've been talking about,
like you said, the Seminoles. I mean, they have no issues, and Florida State's never going to change the name. Kansas City's never going to change their name.
No, Atlanta's not going to change their name either.
Yeah,
yeah. Atlanta still does the tomahawk chop because
I know.
You can't get 30,000 people to not do it. Like they're just going to do it.
And again, it's like And maybe I'm just not seeing it. Maybe it's, you know, are you not getting the royalties off of it? But I don't find where it's, I understand why Redskins was offensive, but I still think it's, you know, part of history as well.
Yeah.
And that it's one of those terms. It's like, yes, I can see how it's, you know, was offensive, but I don't know anyone who's ever referred to an Indian as Redskin.
Right. Yeah. So this is going to be interesting to see if that's got any legs.
Yeah.
To see if it's got any – if that petition, which said 100,000 people signed
100,000 people have signed it so far.
Do you think – I wonder about this. I wonder if – okay, so Harris sees it and goes, you know what? Here's the deal. he would sit down with the group and go, look, would I like it to be the Redskins? Heck yeah, I grew up liking this team. I got to buy the team I liked. I got to buy this team. I actually liked them as a kid growing up. But here's the deal. Do you know how much garbage I would get for this? I would wade through this on a daily basis. Just the league would give me a hard time about it. Certain other groups of fans would give me a hard time about it. And I could point to this petition all day, but it's just a hassle.
Who's going to be complaining about it? It'll be the ones who think they should complain about it.
Right.
Who are not Native American at all, have no tribalness with them at all, but think like, oh, I got to speak up for them. And those are the ones who are going to complain about it
right.
for the sake of complaining.
And I agree with you. And I think dealing with them is too much of a hassle. I can't convince them otherwise.
Right.
Or does he stand up and go, you know what? Scream and holler all you want. Because I go back to...
I don't care.
I go back to Dan Snyder. If there was one guy that could say to the masses, I'm never changing the name. I don't care what you say about me. You're talking about me behind my back anyway. You're talking about me publicly. But you know what? It's not going anywhere. Yeah. I'm not changing the name. But he did change the name.
I guess
he did. Pressure got to him too much from the league or some other people where he went, all right, it's the Washington football team until we can figure it out.
Yeah, which, by the way, last year we called them the Redskins was 2019.
2019. Okay, so not that far. Okay, so here's the other thing. Here's the other thing, because if you go, you got to go back to like 2014, 2013, around that time. Remember, there was a case, okay, where so the Washington Redskins had there was a lawsuit or there was a judgment where they said they could not, they did not own that that people could make logoed stuff with that logo and sell it. Like for somehow they were ruled against
the Indian head logo.
Yeah, there was.
Oh, I don't remember that.
There was a lawsuit. So what happened was this. So every other team, I can't create a Dallas Cowboys T-shirt
and use the star.
Okay, but what the judge ruled in this, and I forgot the legalism of it, but what it created was they said, all right, this is not copyright protected. Okay, so this is not copyright protected, so anyone can use it. But I can remember arguing at the time, like. But would people really buy, how many people would really buy a makeshift jersey made in somebody's basement when, and even if they're selling it for $30, you know it's a knockoff? Or would you just pony up and buy the official jersey? Like, would you really buy the knockoff stuff? I know some people would, but would it really make that big of a dent in the merchandising of the Washington football team? Like, would it, and I remember going, I don't know the answer to that. Maybe people in Washington are like, I don't really care if my Washington Redskins blanket was knitted by some grandma in Ashburn, Virginia. Maybe they, instead of buying one that's made by the official merchandise company of the NFL. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's the case. But that's when I wonder if Dan Snyder was getting pressure from the other owners going, you know what? It is a big deal. Yeah, they are selling this stuff. We aren't making much on you. Because everybody divides, everybody splits the merchandising except the Dallas Cowboys. Which, at least that was the case back then. I don't know if they revamped that. So if you bought a Green Bay Packers jersey, every little team got a little piece of that across the board. They revenue shared that. And I wonder if he got any pressure from that. All right, we will continue. It's Wake Up Call. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. That is the good, the bad, and the dumb. Vontae Hill will join us in hour three to talk 49ers. That's the team we're focusing on as our previews continue.
And Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Oh, by the way, Hefty Lefty on Twitter. They should switch him to linebacker. Talking about Teddy Bridgewater. And then in the preseason, he could get another cool nickname, Teddy B Gap. Not bad.
All right.
I like that one, man.
Kind of
like
small for a linebacker, though.
Yeah, but yeah, they should just make him play one play. That way they could give him the nickname and go.
Teddy B Gap.
50. That's, you know, I call high school games here in Tennessee, and now there's this new, not really a new thing, but I've seen this trend over the last, like, decade, where teams now, listen, I went to a small high school in the 80s, right, to the late 80s. We had one uniform for home and one uniform for road. That was it, right? Now these schools, like especially these football teams, there's different color combinations. They could have like six or seven different uniforms. And one game that I did last year, and I am praying to the football gods that they learn their lesson. The team that I was that I cover had a, it was like a dark red, but they're red, but they used a dark red. And the number that they used was like kind of gold, almost brown. You couldn't tell what the numbers were on the jerseys. Now, up close, they looked great. It was kind of sharp. It was like a goldish color on a dark red. It looked great. Up in the press box where I was, I couldn't read the numbers at all. I was on, I'm adopting binoculars and everything. I couldn't read the numbers at all. And it drove me crazy. And I sort of petitioned that they would get rid of those, even though they did look good. But it seems like now everyone's trying to create new uniform combinations and make them kind of colorful and fun. But please have some sympathy for an old man like me, like looking through binoculars, trying to figure out numbers and going to rosters to try to get the kids' names right. You know, otherwise, I'm just going to say, I'm going to give no names at all. And what fun is that? I'm not going to do everyone's work for them. I can't wait. I love high school football in this area. I just enjoy Friday nights. I love the town. I like the community. It's really fun. Really fun. But that's getting started this weekend around here. Is it started where you guys are? Texas high school football?
No, I guess technically, yeah. I mean, practices have started.
Yeah.
I don't know when the first games are. I don't know if first games are this week. But, I mean, yeah, it's right around the corner.
Yeah.
You know, where they start, but it's, what's weird about our high schools around here is that they all play the same place.
Oh, okay.
We have two community stadiums.
I gotcha. That's
in
cool.
Katy. And so they all play, you know, they're right next door to each other. So, you know, sometimes you have the early game, sometimes you have the late game.
I've gone to these towns, middle of nowhere, Tennessee, and I've gone up to the press box and they're like, well, you can sit next to the referee. And I'm like, what? Like, yeah, there's a little stool over here. And I'm like, oh, okay. There's not like a space. They're like, then I'm running like extension cords all the way to, like, some of these are like, you know what? I'll pass. Yeah, I'll just get on a cell phone in the stands if I have to. But some of these places, I'm like, this rivals like a Division II school. Some of these stadiums are like, where did you get the money for this?
That's
what in the world is
the
this?
High school, the high school football stadium, Katy built a new one not too long ago. And it's the most expensive high school football stadium in Texas.
Nice.
They had this scoreboard where you can see replays almost instantly. It's amazing. The press box is unrivaled. The stadium itself costs $70 million.
That, you know what? That's actually pretty cool because you can get some students to learn that kind of stuff. You know, learn replay and all that.
Yeah.
It gives them a little education.
I don't know if they allow it because they're all paid jobs, but.
Yeah, that's true. But she knows some interns.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. We went there. I went to my first game there last fall. And I walked into that stadium, and I was just like looking around, like my high school stadium would be dwarfed. I mean, it was
we had
like those terrible wooden bleachers that, you know, like you hung out underneath with your girl, you know, type of thing.
Some of these are like you sit in them, you're like, this is gonna fall off, this is gonna break, this is gonna. How long has this been around? Since 1935? What are we talking about?
In soccer, we used to run stairs. Up and down the stadiums, right? And there were a couple where you would step on it and you could feel the nail, like you could see, like, you know, the nail's about to pop out. It's like, everyone skip this row. These steps aren't going to be here that much longer.
Yeah, just some of these places used to, you know, they just don't have, they're lucky they have something.
And then I go to this stadium and it's like, you know, there's a concourse. Like, it's, you know, it's all concrete. And then there's snack stands on either side. And then you bring in the local stores, like, you know, like there's a Chick-fil-A booth there, there's a pizza place. I'm like, this is ridiculous. What happened just getting like hot dogs and
maximize it as best you can. Yeah,
walk around to the other side of the stadium because that's where the good ice cream was. I was like, this is ridiculous.
It's insane.
But that's football in Texas. It's on a different level here.
I didn't even have a high school football team.
There you go.
Our school was too small for that. They have one now, but they have to do it in conjunction with another school. So there's another school across the way, and they're small too. They're like, what if we had one football team that, you know, we just bust one group of kids over to the other group of kids for practice, and that's what we did. And that's what they, yeah, that's what they did. But when I was in school there, we didn't have none. Too small. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. San Francisco 49ers, the team previewing today. Bonte Hill will join us from the game. If you're a longtime listener to the show, this is the guy that called me Charlie that one time, I think.
Yes.
The first time we had him on. And I went with it, and I just said, you know what, let's roll with this. Even though I don't know where he got Charlie from, but he just thought
it was
Charlie.
I have no idea either. It was fantastic, though.
It was really cool, and I didn't correct him because I don't want to do that. I'm never that kind of guy that be like, no, my name's, I just go, whatever, call me whatever you want. Okay.
Excuse me, sir.
I'm trying to extrapolate information from you. All I want is your opinion on and thoughts on this or that I'm talking to you about.
No, I mean,
so we've had him on for the Golden State Warriors. We've had him on for 49ers. So we've had him on for.
And what I love most about it is the fact that he's coming on before he starts his show.
Yeah.
He's coming on at an ungodly hour for most people.
That's
on the West Coast.
That's right. So he'll be up in hour number three. Real quick, Women's World Cup, is that still going on? Is it over?
It's so funny that you said that because I watched my first game today since the U.S. women lost.
Right.
Because I walk into the studio and at first I didn't put it on, and then I saw a blurb and it was like, oh wait, England is playing against Australia. It's the semifinals, Tony.
So we're still doing this?
Yeah.
We're still rolling
along
now, with this?
Now we're down to our final two games. They do a third place game in the World Cup.
Okay.
So the third place game will be, I forget the other team.
Well, who's in the finals?
In the finals is England and Spain.
Okay, England and Spain. Who's going to win?
Sure.
Do we even know?
Of course
my
that team's
going to
win.
My overall point, the reason I brought this up, I've never seen anything more quickly out of sight, out of mind than the Women's World Cup.
As soon as the United States was done. Yeah.
Two things going against it. One, the United States ain't in it anymore.
Yep.
And two, it's in Australia, and we don't even know when the games are. And they're on in the middle of the night.
Well, they're in the middle of the night.
Yeah. So we don't – Two things going against it. Nobody has any idea what's going on over there.
And because of the international dateline, this tournament wrapped up 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the women are back. They're just not allowed to talk about it yet. It's kind of like, you know, like the winner of Survivor or The Amazing Race. You got to be hush. You can't say anything because you signed a contract saying you're not going to spoil the ending. That's what's happened with the Women's World Cup.
I guess
England is considered the favorite against Spain.
I just take your word for it. Honestly, you could have mentioned either one of them, and it would have been fine.
And the other one, the third place game, I believe is Australia versus...
Oh, didn't ask about that. Sorry.
Yeah, it's Australia versus... It's for Sweden, though.
Are you really, really telling me about the consolation game of the Women's World Cup and
they
the tournament we are no longer in?
They have it, Tony.
They do?
They have it. They have a consolation game. Someone will walk away a winner, and someone will walk away a double loser.
But not the U.S. of A.
No, they were out a long time ago.
Not the U.S. of A. That's all I care about. Not the U.S.
They lost to the team in the third place game, Tony.
All right.
Just so you know.
There you go. Well, I'm glad it's still going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad it's still around, I guess. I don't know.
It really is
amazing. I mean, seriously, like, all of the controversy about that team... And then as soon as they lose, no one is interested in what's going on there.
Here's the truth. All week long, this was my backup bad. If I couldn't really find like a fun bad story or something that's worth talking about other than, you know, than this tournament, I was just going to throw that in there. It's like, hey, the Women's World Cup's still going on. No one cares. I mean, you're absolutely right. Two things are hurting it. USA's not in it, and it's at a different time. But, you know, I'll make this argument because when it was in Japan – in South Korea, or, you know, when it was just recently in Qatar, and it's like, you know, half a world away, USA wasn't in it, but we still were into watching it.
Yeah, because it was the Men's World Cup.
Yeah.
It carried some weight. I don't know, should we feel bad about that? I don't think so.
It is what it is.
I don't feel bad for things that I don't have any interest in. If I don't have any interest in it, I don't have any interest in it. I don't make apologies for it. I don't care who wins the Women's World Cup if it's not the time, United States. I may be interested in the Men's World Cup final because I know the historical significance of that, but I may not be interested in Spain versus England.